I'm not at all sure that writing does change the writer. For me, the business of writing, which is a thing I've been doing for a very short 30 years, has been more about meeting myself and completing myself than about making me different from the self I might otherwise have been. That distinction might sound an abstract one, abstract enough that you'd be justified in asking what I mean by it. And why do I say that 30 years is short when it's practically half a life? Let me try to explain, and also explain that the two things are connected, at least for me, in the following way. Imagine, for a moment, that the writing of books is a disease, a chronic ailment contracted by fragile and ambitious men and women from their 20s onwards, many with an obvious predisposition, usually a powerful emotional deficit that they collected in their childhood. Treatment of the affliction of being a writer consists in managing the outbreaks of prose that appear at regular intervals, a clinical approach that uses a cocktail of different methods: editing, publishing, marketing, hopefully shortlisting for prizes, and all with a single intention, that over time the writer's illness will mature to a point where they can feel confident that their view of the world, as expressed in their books, is accepted by enough readers to supply them with the necessary reinforcement. In short, to feel at last that they're being heard. Writing has always been like that for me, a way of making up for this early deficit. There's no time to go into that now, you may be relieved to hear. But I hope you can understand, via my pathological analogy, why I say writing is my way of completing myself. Others might paraglide or sing, create unexampled works of sculpture or mathematical theorems, or sit in the pub, to each their own medication and way of getting through. Sometimes, however, the cure, as much as the disease, appalls. Writing, as Hemingway reminds us, is a craft in which we're all apprentices and no one becomes a master. I have an acute awareness of my need to work every day, my duty to rewrite endlessly, and my relation to the outside world, in which, for endless seeming stretches of time, absolutely no one cares. To live by my pen or keyboard demands that I embrace the permanent prospect of failure and accept constant high levels of financial uncertainty. Nevertheless, there are consolations. If I agree to walk hand in hand every day with those, let's call them, literary inconveniences, I also find that my agreement offers me world-revealing views that make me far more alive than I would be if I avoided those inconveniences by adopting some more settled and pensionable existence. The acute awareness of what work is comes with an acute awareness of what having worked is, and even, sometimes, of what happiness is when a piece of work is finished. Having to work means, too, that I learn a great deal from research, from reading other writers, from thinking about how the world and people work. Knowing no one else cares about what I'm doing makes me more open to finding out what readers do care about. It draws me to my community of fellow writers, too, and them to me. We share the same predicament. Whatever my level of financial uncertainty, I know that my job title means I can go anywhere and ask almost any questions I like. Embracing the prospect of failure is a kind of freedom. There's nothing to stop me writing exactly what I like. And having learned over time to trust my hunches, I know that my subconscious is cleverer than I am when making those decisions. It also means that I recognize my own ego for what it is, and that I need to look after it. There is perhaps one crucial way in which writing has changed me. It has slowed life down. To come back to those short 30 years I mentioned at the outset, having enjoyed those world-opening views for most of that time, 3 decades have felt more like 1. And what else could I really petition life for? I'm still working, I'm still learning, I can still go anywhere, I'm still free. At this rate, I might just have reached a comfortable middle age by the time I'm 90.